If you're just joining us, Scott is out, and we wish him well on his time off. Patrick Zeinert from our web wing is down the hall covering for news.
So yes, sir.
Appreciate him being in the newsroom today, and would also tip the cap to Bill Oliver, who helped Patrick out this morning and kind of getting things going, and that helped me out to sit around and drink coffee.
Well, it's like Bill said, he could either do it one morning or 21 mornings, and he was happy to pass the hat pass it on.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Oliver woke up to be in a supporting role this morning.
Yeah, yeah. We appreciate it.
That's pretty amazing.
Sure. All right, it's time for our Really Big Stuff segment.
Really big stuff?
We do this periodically. Actually, before we get to the Really Big Stuff segment, picking up something that I missed last hour when we were talking about birthdays and whatnot, it's Banned Books Week. So today kicks off Banned Books Week.
And banned like get rid of them or books if you're in the band?
No, it's not books about bands.
Oh, okay.
It's a band as in they are not allowed books.
I see.
76 trombones and
more. Yeah, I was like a trombone book or something.
Yeah, a book called Spinal Tap or something.
Banned Book Week. Okay.
Banned.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
More importantly, it's National Dog Day. So I guess that's to be separated from Take Your Dog to Work Day.
Banned books get a week and dogs only get a day.
Golly. Where's the justice in that?
No.
I got a problem with that, I got to tell you. And then it's also, deliciously, it's National Pancake Day.
Me some flapjacks. Yeah.
So maple syrup. I think you should go out and celebrate that. You know, you could have them for breakfast. You could have them for lunch and dinner.
I have.
Yeah. And it is. We like a good breakfast at our house for dinner sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. All right, so moving on to speaking of food and National Pancake Day, we move on to our Really Big Stuff segment. Folks in Mount Vernon, Washington, claiming a new Guinness record for the world's largest dish of potatoes au gratin. Was there a large demand for this?
Yeah. What was the previous record?
I don't know. Apparently, it nearly doubles the previous record set in France.
Where did they find that?
I mean, the pan of potatoes was 80 feet long by 8 feet wide. 8 feet wide. So,
almost 30 yards on a football field.
I was going to say, we're talking about, 27 yards worth of potatoes au gratin.
Uh-huh.
And 8 feet wide. Does not say how deep it was, but organizers say they used 15,000 pounds of red potatoes, 400 pounds of cheese, 100 pounds of diced onions, 50 pounds of garlic, and 200 gallons of cream. Mm. All the ingredients were grown locally. Now my question is after you make a large dish like this, the record potatoes au gratin, at what point do you realize, what are we going to do with all the leftovers?
Because
if everybody just... Let's face it, you don't go home and say, hey, what are we having for dinner tonight? Well, we're having potatoes au gratin. Well, what are we having with it? Nothing. We're having potatoes au gratin.
Yeah, and that's a lot of Tupperware.
I thought we'd do some bread and maybe a salad and we'd call it done. No, but that's a side dish.
So at what
point do you realize, we're going to need a heck of a lot of Tupperware?
Well, you just need to be skeptical at all the city events for the next 6 months.
That's right.
Side of potatoes au gratin.
That's right.
No kidding.
That's right. It's Texas Reds with au gratin potatoes.
And that's just it. Patrick pointed out you need to be skeptical because, after all, this does have cheese and cream in it, and I would think at some point that would begin to need a shave.
That's right. Last night we would have had steak, lobster, and au gratin.
Lobster fest last night.
Yeah.
Any event in Mount Vernon, Washington, probably until, I don't know, Easter, is going to have potatoes au gratin as a side dish.
Yeah, and that event at Easter, those are going to be a little gamey by then.
Yeah,
kidding.
Golly. I mean, you better, hopefully somebody's got a big freezer. Hello?
Hello, hey, you don't need Tupperware. You just let the pan cool, you turn the lid over, and stick it in the icebox.
That's going to be a big icebox, though.
Well, how do they cook it? Do they have a big oven, an 8-foot-wide oven? Conveyor belt style?
No, they just...
I think they probably made it piecemeal and then just put it all in. Because you could make the potatoes and everything like that, and then you just sprinkle the cheese on
there. Well, that's cheating. So. That's like McDonald's serving a billion burgers and saying they made the biggest burger.
Well. You're going to go up there. You're going to go up there. Hang on. Hello?
Hey, you guys know where the local Nazi racist support group is?
What? Please keep in mind you're live on the radio before you proceed.
Oh, no, I was just wondering if you knew.
Oh, okay, no. We have secret meetings. You'll have to get an engraved invitation.
Okay, I'll look for that.
Thanks, man. Uh-huh.
Where'd that come from?
Well, I know he was listening last hour when I said, you know, remember even remotely connected or in support of the Tea Party, according to that San Antonio teacher, you're a Nazi, and according to Morgan Freeman, if you don't want Barack Obama to be president, you're a racist.
I see. So he was taking your tongue out of your cheek there.
Yes, yeah. something like that.
I got you.
I'm really curious how you accomplished the whole potatoes au gratin thing. And Patrick, if you want to go up there and have righteous indignation, maybe we can get you a city council agenda. You can go during Here Visitors, something like that.
Yeah, maybe so. Eat some au gratin.
Yeah, exactly. But if they offer you any potatoes au gratin again, I would suggest passing. Speaking of very large dishes, a restaurant in Japan has set the record for the largest sushi roll. Nearly 8 inches in diameter. So 8 inches across. We're talking what? A volleyball-sized sushi roll there.
Well, yeah.
13 pounds. Appropriately enough, it's called the generous roll. Yeah, I would think so.
I thought they'd call it the monster. You know?
I would think so. Uh-huh. Contains 24 ingredients, including a variety of fish and seafood, vegetables, and rice. And I'm really surprised by this. The price?
Mm-hmm.
$200. I would have thought it would have been more. Well,
yeah, you could share that around.
You would have to share that around.
Yeah, yeah.
And
stick
once
it on
again,
the buffet.
And once again, that's not something that you can just take home.
No.
There's an expiration date on it, and probably a heck of a lot sooner than the expiration date on the potatoes.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful.
Sort of like the free samples of sushi at the local grocery-torium, as Scott would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
skeptical of that. I don't like sushi anyway, and I certainly wouldn't try ones that are sitting out waiting for me.
See, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, well, I like sushi. You're right. And you don't like sushi that's waiting on you.
Yeah.
You like to wait on your sushi.
Cause are we talking fast food restaurant line wait, or are we talking doctor's office wait?
Yeah.
Even worse, are we talking, urgent care wait on the weekend wait, you know, something along those lines.
Right. And I want to see the date and time stamped on that thing. You know, it better not be past 10 minutes ago.
Yeah,
right.
It better be on a digital clock. I mean, right there next to it. And I will confess right here on the radio, I've never had sushi.
Really?
And it's because, it's not because I don't want to try it, mm-hmm. okay? It's because I'm chicken. And it's not chicken of eating raw fish, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I understand the contradiction in terms right there.
Yeah,
it's not being afraid to eat raw fish. It's that I know a lot of the ingredients that go into sushi rolls sometimes are things like cucumber.
Right.
And mm-hmm. sometimes cilantro.
Uh-huh.
And a little cilantro goes a very long way for me.
Yes, it does.
And I do not under any circumstances want to eat cucumber.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the rolls anyway, the California rolls. I stay away. I like just, you know, the little sushi fish on top of a piece of, you know, clumped up rice.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. more of a sashimi thing.
Yeah, exactly. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's what my wife says. You know, she tells me, she says, you really need to try sashimi. But the reason why I still haven't is because I kind of would like a tour guide, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, well, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? Why don't you try this?
Yeah.
And since I don't have any friends, it's kind of a problem.
Yeah,
so.
Well, with the rolls, you're getting mostly rice. That's the thing. You know, you're spending a lot of money for some cold clumped rice. You know.
Wow.
Well,
we're
starting to get as many sushi places as we have yogurt places, frozen yogurt places.
You turn around and a new one's opening up. So, mm-hmm. Speaking of, continuing on with really big things, it's a good year for monster pumpkins in Utah. Four pumpkins have broken the old state record, but two of the largest were grown by the same guy. His 1,600-pound pumpkin...
Good night.
Breaks the old state record by almost 500 pounds. All right, I'm just going to read the name of this. The Utah Giant Pumpkin Growers Association. Where's the threshold? Where's the threshold? When you aim to be a part of the Giant Pumpkin Growers Association and you try and you try and you try, do they have an inspector that comes out? And he's sitting there, or she's sitting there, with a clipboard and a pencil, looking down there, looking down over the top of their glasses at your pumpkin, saying,
"Grading your pumpkin."
I'm sorry, Mr. Murphy, it's just not going to cut it this year.
And if you're at the bottom,
we gave you a grace period when we accepted your probationary admission into the giant pumpkin growers. We're going to have to remove you from the active rolls if you do not have a giant
other
pumpkin.
Other pumpkin growers have threatened to sue us.
There are other people. That's right. That's right.
Well, and at that point, if you're at the bottom of
Kenneth Starr at the Baylor Giant Pumpkin Farm is threatening to sue you.
So
because you wanted out of the Utah Association and you wanted to join the National Association.
Well, and if you're at the bottom of the bottom of the Giant Pumpkin Growers Association, at what point do you decide to be the biggest one in the Normal Pumpkin Growers Association?
Yeah, well, and isn't that like you know big fish little pond?
Exactly,
exactly. Yeah.
At what point do the other? And of course, then the other giant pumpkin growers. You know what he did? He quit. He quit growing really big ones so he could just go in and dominate the regular pumpkin growers.
Seniors playing on JV.
He couldn't keep up with us, so he dropped down a classification.
Yeah. They didn't want to go to the nation's premier pumpkin growers.
No.
No.
And we'll keep you out of there by any means necessary, buddy.
Exactly. Think your child.